Welcome, everybody, to Conversations That Matter. I'm your host, Alex Newman, senior editor at The New American Magazine. Now, we have been interviewing doctors and scientists throughout this entire COVID pandemic thing. And we've interviewed a lot of contrarians, people who warned that we were being lied to, people who said that the standard treatment protocols were not good, people who warned very strongly, actually in the strongest possible terms, not to take the injections. Today, we have a very special guest with us. He's coming to us live from South Africa, Dr. Elapin Rapiti. And he has also done some interesting things with COVID. He's been a doctor for over 35 years. He's worked in a secondary hospital in Livingston Hospital in Port Elizabeth as a medical officer in the departments of internal medicine, adult and pediatric surgery, pediatrics, obstetrics, gynecology. And then he decided to go into general practice. He actually does a lot of work in Mitchell's Plain, which is kind of a rough area outside of Cape Town, where I spent a lot of time when I lived down there. Dr. Rapiti, it's great to have you with us. Thank you so much. So you've done some innovative things with COVID and kind of goes contrary to the narrative. Would you tell us what were you doing with COVID that saw such great success?
Well, look, I'm a family physician and I'm a hands-on guy. All my life, I've been wrecking the narratives. I had this policy. If the book didn't have it, it was too late. I used my brains. So I didn't buy any of the rubbish from my professors, the WHO, and I was a daring guy. I've always been a daring guy. And when it came to medicine, my guiding principle was save your patient, do the best for your patient. I did not buy the narrative from the WHO. Send your patients home. There's no treatment. When they're half dead in the face, send them to a hospital. That is suicidal. They were sending them to grave. Whereas I took the exact opposite. I treated as best as I can, whatever it what was available to me. And then I just caught upon Pierre Corey and some Filipino doctors and in India and Bangladesh, where they're getting tremendous success with ivermectin. Then I started listening to lectures on YouTube by Dr. Moby. And to understand, you see, to treat any disease, you need to understand it. It's a new disease. We get lots of experts coming with degrees in virology and specialists, but they don't know a brass farthing about clinical medicine. If anybody sees a new disease, it's a family doctor like myself. I see them firsthand. Right now, Omicron 5 is the most relevant strain. And I think the whole world's got it wrong. I read a lot of journals. I see what they say. And I'm sorry. I'm going to use the word this absolute rubbish because I've got the data for having treated Omicron 5. And I can take you through the entire spectrum of the different strains of Omicron. I decided, and I said to myself, Alex, when I was in hospital, that this is a threat to mankind. And the soldiers in this war would be the health workers. And I decided I'm 74. I'm not going to be a coward that hides in the trenches in the battlefield. I'm going to go guns blazing and I'm going to die on the battlefield. I've got nothing to lose. But I use my clinical acumen and my natural intelligence, innate intelligence. I said, if you get an infection, you cannot get reinfected. And by God, I was right. When my friends were singing Freddie Mercury's Who Wants to Live Forever, I was singing the Bee Gees, Staying Alive. Gaynor. And I said, I will survive. And I've seen 3,000 patients, didn't even wear a bloody mask. They could come into the room. I would touch them. I would hug them. And they found me very shocking and controversial. I didn't die. In fact, I said, cough, man, give me your virus because I've already got the infection. You're boosting my immunity. So what Fauci and a lot are saying is a lot of rubbish. They haven't treated one patient. I've treated 3,000. And my best time was in the Delta strain. By that time, I'd become a very smart cookie. I did things on my own. By accident, I used a thing called prednisone, which is corticosteroids, because I have a big interest in asthma and lung diseases. And I found even up till now, the so-called asthma specialists don't understand asthma. They come with their titles and their degrees and the 50-odd papers that they wrote, fake rubbish, and they think they know it all. But I've seen so many mistakes. But my kind of work is gems that do not get into the book. And I'm glad for this interview because I want to share this with your American doctors. And my saying is this, and I'm going to say it loud and clear. Nobody should die or land up in a grave because of COVID if you don't know how to treat it. Because there is excellent treatment. It is cheap. And those people who defy me I've got blood on their hands. Because in during the COVID strain, which was the Delta strain, which was the worst strain, because it was, remember, it was 70 times more virulent. The word virulent here means where it's more dangerous. You have in, the word is infectious, where it spreads wildly. This was both infectious and highly virulent. And in spite of getting all your vaccines in the Northern Hemisphere in December, it did nothing because it was 80% resistant to the vaccine. So your maximum admissions to hospital was a Delta strain. Well, and in my country, what was happening, the famous Christian Barnard Hospital, where the man who got to fame doing a heart transplant became another name for a morgue. People said to me, doctor, I don't want to go to this hospital. They kill you there, you die. You go there, you're going to say your last goodbye. So I said, well, I'm going to take the chance. I understand this disease. By that time, I became pretty smart and I started treating them. Hell, you know what, Alex? I had patients as low as 35%. And that is why I sent you that video for one reason. I'm not talking out of my nostrils. I can authenticate it. I've got 600 video recordings because I know some crap-ass academics are going to say, I'm talking a lot of rubbish. Well, I've got, what better than 600 videos? And I send them to you.
And one look at 35%, my heart sank because I knew there's not so much I could do. But thank God, the lady herself decided she's not going to hospital. Nevertheless, we put her on our protocol within 2 weeks from 35% oxygen level. She came in with a wheelchair looking very well at 79%.
I was feeling very bad because my oxygen level was 35. And everybody said to me inside, you're going to die, you're going to die, you must go to hospital. And I tell them, I'm not going to a hospital. The doctor is going to help me. They struggle with me, and the doctor come out. He says, they must leave me. You're going to help me. And I feel much, much better.
When we're told that oxygen levels are so low, they need to get ventilators, I think we need to rethink that narrative. I think what the teaching hospitals like Grüterskin and Tigerberg and the World Universities are saying, ventilate, I think, needs to be reviewed. Here's a classic example of somebody who could have died, but with adequate management, home oxygen, thanks to Farida, who generously donated the oxygen, yet the patient survived. Why are we wasting money on fancy technology?
35%, and I was a bit skeptical about treating her, and I was at the same time hesitant to send her to hospital because she was going to die. And she said to me, doctor, I'd rather die in your hands. I'm going to die in my home, but I'm not going to that hospital. I said, ma'am, you are on because you're dealing with a guy that takes on a challenge. I believe me, now that video I sent you, within 2 weeks, Alex, she was up at 70. Within 6 weeks, 95%. All I did was my protocol of treatment. And I'm sorry to say FLCC got it wrong, but these guys, Pierre Corrie, them work in the specialist unit. I work right at the ground base. And the minute I get them, I treat them. And my policy was, it's a three-pronged disease. You've got the virus, which gives you your body aches and pains. And from there, it progresses into the lungs. You get your pneumonia, and associated with you get your clotting factor. Those are the three factors for your doctors in Canada to know. If you get the viral phase, you hit it hard with an antiviral, and the best is ivermectin. They can say what they want. It's the safest, cheapest, most effective, and I'm not going to go into detail. Our time is limited. I'm very voluble on the subject of talking about the pharmacology. I read, read, read. I don't guess my stuff. And if it don't make sense to me, I don't care who's saying it. I don't care how credentialed. You need, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Sometimes, you know, Alex, in medicine, we don't know how things work. Damn hell, man. If they work, who cares how they work? And I know how ivermectin works. And I treated 1,000 people. And I got a 99.95% success rate in recovery and cure. Only 5% died simply because it came 3 weeks too late to me. In fact, the lady with 35% came to me 3 weeks. And Paul Marrick, you probably know him, and Pierre Corrie were talking about using your steroids. No, you're going to hang on it in 8 days. And I was defiant. That is when I created my own set of clinical tools. I used no x-rays, no scans. I didn't use urinary blood tests. I work with poor community. You know Mitchell's Plain. They don't have 2 cents to buy food. And I treated a lot of them pro deo. My decision was I'd rather lose money than to lose a life, because it wouldn't be in my conscience. And I've saved people just by doing clinical science. And I had a fantastic clinical science. The one that is being taught to doctors in medical school on textbooks is a policeman diagnosis. You can even diagnose it. Too late. Every day you waste. As Steve Kerr says, it's a fast disease. You've got to get into it very quickly. What I discovered with the Delta strain, by day three, people were coming to me with a pneumonia. It was not obvious to your ordinary doctor who was trained by medical schools, by these professors who think they know everything, but they know zilch. They sit behind desks and read papers. I see patients. I read patients. And I picked up the signs. The minute you told me, within 3 days, I'm short of breath, and people were reticent to tell you the truth. I created them. I said, tell me, do you feel short of breath when speaking? Yeah. Do you feel short of breath when you walk a little bit? Not so bad, because men, especially macho, no, I don't. I can do it. I
said, Dr. Rapiti, we're going to go to a break real quick. We've got to put some commercials in from our sponsors, but we're going to come back on the other side of this break. I want to hear much more about how you were dealing with the pneumonia and your protocols. Folks, stay tuned. Keep the dial right where it is. We will be right back with more from Dr. Rapiti in South Africa. Welcome back, everybody. Alex Newman here on Conversations That Matter. We are with an extraordinary doctor from South Africa who treated thousands of patients with COVID and had extraordinary results. We're hearing about the protocols now. Dr. Rapiti, thank you so much. Before we went to break, you were talking about the patients who were coming in with pneumonia and how you were dealing with them. Please pick up where you left off and tell the folks how you dealt with this.
Yeah, it was my clinical science, because I'm a hands-on guy. No fancy tests. I set up a set of tests, and this is for your public out there. If the doctors are not smart enough, if you get short of breath shortly after, yeah, they're not really. I'm sorry. I need to start my own damn medical school to teach these guys how to teach. No, really. I'm not being arrogant. I'm confident. Yes, there's signs for your public that are listening, because the public are smarter than the doctors. I'm sorry for saying this. I feel bad to be associated with some of these guys. There is a symptom. You get a fever and you get short of breath. You get tired when you speak, you're gasping for breath. And you find that, this is important, declining effort tolerance is called DET. Each day, instead of getting better, you're getting worse. And if you get a cough that comes on 3 days later with a bit of chest pain, you got lung pathology. We have a thing called crepitations, where doctors use a stethoscope on the lungs and they pick up crepitations. I didn't pick that up. But if you have those three signs of shortness of breath, Alex, what else can give you shortness of breath? Your lungs are packing in. Why wait for it to liquefy and get damaged and then say, oh, now I'll wait for the scan? You don't wait. You, every day you delay, you're adding illness for another week. That is stupid. And I did something else. I use a thing called a peak flow meter. You blow into it. And ordinarily, a normal person would blow 400, 500. These people were blowing 100. Now, if you had asthma, you blow 100. But with asthma, it's an airway, big airway problem. If you gave them a puff, the pump, it will immediately reverse and it will go up to 200, 300. So these people, because it's your air sacs, it's a bunch of grapes where there's air. If there's damage there, you're not going to get reversible component. That to me said, you had lung disease, you had pneumonia setting in. I didn't wait for further evidence. I put you on oxygen immediately. My staff were on the ball. And the minute they said, doctor, I feel well, better, I had another acronym called BAO, better after oxygen. That meant you were battling with oxygen. Very important point. Don't believe oximeters. They tell you 96%. I've had these upstart doctors, MOs in hospital. No, your oxygen's fine, 92. If the oxygen dropped to 94, I said, there's trouble. Because for it to drop to 94, it means most of your lung is damaged. Because if you've got good lung, it'll maintain it at 96. But even so, I did not treat machines. I don't treat machines. I treat people. If Alex told me I'm tired, doctor, I was convinced this was pneumonia. I had nothing to lose because the medication I was giving you was so safe. If I was wrong, it didn't matter. But if I was right, I made you suffer for another bloody month. And that was wrong. I use that principle. None of the guys in the world know it. They ain't giving me an opportunity to tell them the story because I could save them. And I won. With Delta strain, they came to me within day three. Alex, day five. These guys said, wow, doctor, I'm feeling like a bed of roses. I'm ready to jump. By day eight, they were back in work. Not one went to hospital. I had four patients discharged from hospital. The one guy was a 71-year-old guy with heart problem, COPD, lung disease. He went in at 60. He was in hospital for 2 months at 43. His daughter contacted me very frantically. Said, "Doctor, I heard you're so great." I said, "I am, but I ain't taking a chances because you got guys like Alex who want to bugger me around." I said, "You take him out, I'll take over." 3 months down the line from 43%, I got him up to 92% off his oxygen. It was a tough case. I did not see this guy, Alex. I did him on the phone. His daughter was my nurse. I could teach them on video calling how to do Clexane injections. And I haven't seen him up to today. He's going on for his second Christmas. I'd like to tell that registrar specialist who told his daughter in a very crude, barbaric way, "Your father's going to die." She said, "It's okay." He's, and yeah, that's how they speak. They're arrogant. They violate the oath. But let me go quickly. We've got now how to pick up the symptoms. The treatment is, if you're in the viral stage, the beauty of using ivermectin, and I use high doses. When they were talking about 0.4, I was using 1 mg/kg. One may say, "I'm mad." I ain't mad. If the only thing a high dose of ivermectin will do, it make you run to the toilet. But I wanted to get that virus. But if I didn't use a high enough dose and knock that virus, I'll send you to the grave. I had a choice, toilet or grave. And you know what? None of them went to the toilet. They were fine. There was a study that came out that showed higher than the normal dose. Nobody died. No serious side effects. Everybody. So it's a lot of bollocks. Why not ivermectin? Unlike remdesivir and Paxlovid, they're bloody useless. They got lots of toxic effects. After the viral stage, they don't work. But these idiots in hospital were giving it to you in the pneumonia stage when you don't have a virus. That is criminal. They must be punished. With ivermectin, you can treat it viral, inflammatory, and your anticoagulant. So I use that. I use erythromycin because it had a zinc ionophore effect. It also had some antiviral effect and also treated your secondary pneumonia. I didn't have time, you know, Alex. It was not a premium thing. I got people better in two visits, man. Almost 80% of my patients came to me the first time, sick as dogs. "Hey, doctor, I'm feeling great by this day 7. I said, "No, you're on your own. You contact me." I was accessible. I was a daring guy. I had 3,500 numbers on my WhatsApp. I said, "You contact me. Don't waste your time in the hospital because they're going to bullshit you." And I was able to manage them on WhatsApp, and I did it. And I had a fantastic start. And so from there, I had high doses of prednisone. This is for your doctors. Don't use piddly doses. We're not looking at the small airway. We're looking at those grapes. The surface area of those grapes is the size of a tennis or one or two tennis courts. So you had to use something like 100 milligrams of steroid. Normally they would use 40 milligrams. That's piddly doses. You use high doses. Nothing is going to happen to you. I've had diabetics. I've had 90-year-old patients. I got them better. I put my arm around them. I'm a motivational guy. I don't tell you you're going to die. I say, "Granny, don't worry. You were the champ, man." And I was, because that I believe that kind of motivation gives people. They were alarmed at my optimism. And you know what? I got them better. I got them better. So there's nobody, no Fauci can tell me I'm talking bull dust here. They must meet me on any show. I want all 10 of them specialists. I'm going to fight them alone. He's a sumo wrestler. So that was my dose. Then I used colchicine. The reason for colchicine, it was a very targeted anti-inflammatory and minimized the effects of your prednisone. I used hydroxychloroquine, very safe drug, also anti. So you're hitting it with a machine gun because you want to save lives here. And it worked. And I also used the SSRIs, especially for the elderly, because your virus gets to the brain. Your ivermectin doesn't get there. Whereas your SSRIs, that is your Muzak or whatever.
Prozac, we call it, yeah.
Prozac, your guys call it. It was designed for antidepressant. I do psychiatry in my practice. I know that discipline as well. I do motivational counseling. Yeah, absolutely. I've got great successes. I take them off the damn. Well, there's good news for Pfizer. Their Prozac is useless for depression. It works damn well. For we found a new repurposed treatment for their stupid drug. It works very well. Yeah, it does for brain. So I hit them with everything. I got them better. When it came to the clotting, everybody got an aspirin. I took no chance. Then I had I'm not going to go into the details. I had a thing called a D-dimer, and I staged it. I classified it. It was my own classification. If it went to a certain level, you went to a thing called clopidogrel. If that didn't work, then you went to what's called a NOC. And if it went to 2,000 to 3,000, a NOC. If it went to about 4,000, I put you on a thing called Clexane, which is heparin. The guy I told you about that was in hospital, he had a figure of 11,000. No other doctor will touch him, never mind a GP. But I was daring because titles don't make me. It's my brains that make me. I haven't written numerous papers, but I've got so much. And with that kind of treatment and home oxygen, I had a wonderful lady who provided me free oxygen. Not one corporate was willing to do this, and they shitheads because they saved, they denied society that lease of life. It just cost about $1,000. Well, I don't know, $7,000. That's about $700 to buy a million of those machines. And I people did it at home. It was better to, here's advice to your families out there. It's better to be treated by a good doctor. I would treat them overseas. I've treated Australians, New Zealanders, people in New York, people in
Dr. Rapiti, we are just about out of time. We're going to be forced to go into a break. But before we let you go, this is so incredibly amazing. What's the best website to follow you and your work?
Look, I my website is not updated. I'm a very busy guy, but I'm on Telegram channel, and I do a video every day to beat mainstream media. Because I'm sorry, journalists don't know medicine, and they don't know COVID, because 99% of your doctors in the world, including the specialists, don't know this new disease. I know it. So if they can do themselves one bit of favor, go onto my channel. I do a video every day, and I strut it like a master. So within 10 minutes, I'll give you three aspects of it. I'll give you the latest, and you get to know what's going on, because that is how you're going to be updated, besides Alec Newman's show, you know. But I'm the other guy that you can get your stuff from. So fantastic. There you have it. I've given you the stuff. That's what it is. Breathing, I use things like black seed, which is known, and acetylcysteine. These are great things. Vitamin D in high doses, not piddly doses, vitamin C. Zinc, washing the nose, very, very important. Washing the mouth costs nothing because 90% of your virus is in the nose and the mouth. If you wash that twice a day, you're clearing the virus, less chance of the virus going. So here are simple things. But, you know, I can go on. You know, this is, I eat, drink, and sleep the same for the last 2 years, Alex.
Well, we so appreciate you sharing your insights with us, Dr. Rapiti. Thank you for all the phenomenal work you've been doing in South Africa. Hopefully, we'll be able to get you back on very soon. But I want to thank you so much. Folks, that's Dr. Elapin Rapiti in South Africa. Extraordinary success in treating COVID. I'm Alex Newman. This is Conversations That Matter for the New American Magazine. Thank you all for tuning in. Till next time, God bless you all.